That's what the rat goes
Welcome
for.
To the Fat Endurance Podcast. Terms of ears, the show notes.
Come on.
That settles him down for 5 minutes. Welcome. Skinny.
Welcome.
Have you ever done a podcast with Rob Jones?
Yes.
Can you remember when?
Back when we used to have a flat there, and it was for Into the Light.
Tell me when it was.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
I was still sweating after that.
I was thinking with both of you on the show, how is it going to go? But so far, so good.
I'll be in charge of tech. I'm just going to sit.
He's got one job.
So far, so good.
I don't know what I'm doing here, but yeah.
So today, two Robs. Rob Foster, Rob Jones. Rob Jones, not in Hokers, in Crocs.
Yep, Crocs and socks, baby.
That's because you're recovering.
Recovery.
From your
recovery
weekend's
protocol.
Activity.
Yep.
Which was Xtero Man.
Mm.
You're in a recovery week before WTC Abu Dhabi.
It's peaking A race.
Absolutely. Your triathlon career is taking off.
I actually got offered a Pinarello Dogma to race that in this morning.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who?
Jamie.
Wow.
Said, do you want to use my Pinarello?
I think you'd be a bit stretched out for that one.
It made me nervous thinking about it. What if I crashed the Pinarello Dogma? I don't think I'd ever live it down.
So you're going CAD 12?
Yeah. Nice. His old bike.
His old bike as well. He's just
sponsoring me with bicycles. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
Fair enough. And how is Xterra? That's what all the listeners want to hear, mate. You've gone from High Rocks. You gave a good feedback on that.
The race I enjoyed, the organization I did not enjoy.
Oh, yeah?
I think they let the side down a little bit. But as a race, it was the swim, really, really enjoyable. Love jumping off a boat. Love swimming. How cold was the sea? The temperature difference in that
Not as
sea.
Cold as the back of the truck that we got a lift to the ferry on in.
We... the walk from transition...
Which had the ice.
I completely forgot about that.
I had frostbite before I even got on the ferry. Didn't help with this guy chucking ice down my top either.
They
were like, please walk over to the ferry terminal. And I just looked at the bloke and was like, no.
It's at least 2K walk.
Yeah.
It was a 2K walk so from the bike drop to the ferry terminal.
So three of us got a lift.
Barefoot, glass everywhere. You said, absolutely not.
Yeah, I just
Can I have
no.
a lift?
Yeah.
And the guy said, okay. And he put us in the back of the ice truck.
If you don't ask, you don't get, right?
So me being a big child, I put ice down your tri-suit.
Yeah. Beautiful. Pre-race cooling is important, though. But I know what you mean. When we turned into the canal, the water was freezing. Yeah. Started Wim Hofing. Don't try and drink coffee now. Come on, mate. Don't try and drink coffee now.
I'm just moving it.
Wim Hofing.
Nervous that Skinny's going to kick it off the table. Oh, dear me.
Skinny, from the outside in, what did Xterra Man look like to you?
An Innerfight training day.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
That's all I got from
it. Over 20% of the field was Innerfight. That tells you all you needed to know about it. So we would say sign up for next year, but I doubt it'll be on. Yeah. No way they're making any money off that.
No, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because you want races like that to work. Because they're in really cool locations. There is so much potential. But I think they just dropped the ball. Like basics, marking the course would be nice.
A little bit of courtesy on course. Yeah. A
bit of courtesy on course. Marking it. Yeah. Having the timing mats out at the start of the race. Yeah. Getting your times right. I apparently ran a PB 10K.
You ran a 37-minute 10K. There was knives at the swim exit. Which also... Big guy over here was just not taking corners. No penalties for that. Nothing for that. The best part for me, anyway, was the t-shirts were from 2023. The medals were from 2023.
The t-shirts were all
and
medium.
The post-race meal was from 2023. They had falafel burgers to finish.
Is this slander? Can we go to prison for this review? I'm genuinely nervous about this review.
No, I think it's fair, right? I think you're putting on an international company event.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things we need to hit standard-wise. It wasn't till someone else pointed out to me that there was no Race Village.
It blew away.
Yeah.
It blew away. It was windy on the Friday. And so the Race Village, the guy did say it blew away. But then this is also, you know, it's a trail race. The trail race Oh, the trail run on the Friday, there was a 10K and a 21K. The 10K was only 8K and the 21K was 13K.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you've got to get those basics right if you want people to return.
Yeah. You're on, you're a brand on Xterra.com and there is something to meet there.
Yeah. But I think if people, like, we are quite jovial and we make lightheartedness out of these events, but lots of people were quite annoyed.
Yeah. And you spent $100, you probably have a right to be, right?
Yeah.
But we had fun. My particular favorite part was your morning routine on the race day.
Love it.
It was like, have a coffee, which is normal. That's fine. And then you're like, I think I'll have another one. And then this is within an hour, like 10 minutes before we're leaving the house. You're like, just, I'll do one more.
Three.
And then you absolutely schooled me in the swim.
Yeah. So, and then it all wore off on the bike.
You also had more REM sleep than you've ever known what to do with.
Yeah. I was overflowing with REM.
Yeah.
Dr. Matthew Walker was actually sent me a WhatsApp. Said I've just after been checking the ring scores and you've won.
Not only PB'd your 10K, but you've PB'd your REM sleep.
PB'd my REM. That's because you don't move.
Oh, mate, I'm a stealth sleeper.
I was checking your pulse.
It's low.
You, 1 minute you're talking, then you stop talking, and that was it. You woke up in the morning.
Yeah. That's it.
Quite nice for you.
Professional sleeper. So, Xterra, man, we found it fun, but overall we're rating it as a... out of 10?
I think we could have done it ourselves.
Ah, yeah. I reckon bring it over to UAE, Hatta, swim in the dam, ride on the trails, run on the trails, throw some mud around.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Skinny.
Oh,
it's ready.
I'm not. I'm still getting over that just furious tirade. I think what Tom got most annoyed about, by the sounds of it from our staff meeting yesterday, was Marcus taking straight lines. that was the crux of the matter.
Cussing, isn't there some variability you're allowed on and off course?
On it, yeah, apparently.
What's the width?
Tolerance, it's called.
What is the tolerance? Yeah.
But one of the situations where he was riding his tolerance course and I was on the real one, the one stick on the course flicked up into my jockey wheels and I had to stop and pull it out. I was furious. Otherwise, I'd have followed him down the straight line probably.
Did you also have a sticky bottom bracket for riding over my nutrition that I dropped on that one?
There was Stroop Waffle all over my rear wheel, yeah. Good. I aimed for it as well.
Stroop Waffle, dropped it on the first lap, picked it up on the second lap, tried to eat it. I thought I'd lose my teeth because it was full of gravel.
Sounds like you guys have an absolute cracking weekend.
It was a fasted race. I was living off 3 coffees and REM.
Yeah. And well, while we were over there, mate, you were doing your best impression of Renato Canova.
A little cheeky Italian accent. Aye, we ran up a hill in the morning and then we ran 10x1K in the evening. It was like a special workout. I've done it before and it's worked really well. So we thought we'd repeat it for marathon runners and people doing Two Oceans and Jason, who was riding up a hill instead of going to Mushroom Park. So it was a cracking day. Nakab is always an absolute blinder. And it's a real test. And then the evening is even better because it's when people are knackered. So
you PB'd in a cab time?
Yes. I pushed a little. I took the carbons.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Carbons uphill. You feel the difference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've, because it's washed out so much because of the rains, they've cleared the road again. So there's an inside line, which is hard as.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's fast, but you get caught out sometimes. I forgot I was running sometimes and like hit a rock and I fell over. But
those that haven't run Wadi Nakab, can you describe it?
Jebel Yanis.
And the entrance of Wadi Nakab.
Yeah. It's probably 10.5K up in total. And it's a beauty because it goes from about 4% and it just gently builds up until about 8K or 8.5K and then it just goes like an absolute wall.
Yeah.
So if you get it wrong at the start, if you get all up yourself and start smashing it, you have to end up rolling back to downhill because it's really steep. And it goes from quite stable terrain, so like concrete, and then it goes to like shale, and then it goes to like shale. Single track, which is not single track, but like a farm track.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So it makes...
Have you got the running KOM up there? Surely.
Think so, yeah.
Surely.
Think so. I had it from before, and then I've bettered it.
Ugh.
Yeah, I gave it a nudge this time, which is why I didn't go so hard in the evening.
Do you have the downhill KOM as well?
No. That's somebody who did the Hajar has got that.
Wow.
I think Shawnee got it or something.
Shawnee didn't do Hajar, did he?
He did. Yeah, he did it, and I think he got top three at least down the hill, because he properly sandbagged it in that race and then absolutely flew in the last bit.
So that's it. Go see if you can beat your KOM up there.
Easily done, I'd say.
Don't know, mate. Not if you gave it some gas. So that's in the morning. So what's the goal of that morning run then?
Running to create fatigue, basically. Up a hill, you can't really... You're working a lot harder than the flat. You've got to work muscles a lot harder. It's a consistent grade, so you have to eat into a little bit of strength endurance reserves. So you're just priming the body and getting rid of a lot of liver and muscle glycogen. Mm. So then you go into the evening session a bit damp. So it's... You want to see it at the end of a marathon training block where you need a bit more stimulus and really like at the end of your fatigue level, and then you push one bit more to drain the body out. Yeah. So then when you go into the evening session, which is like a threshold session,
yeah,
just below like, just like low threshold, let's call it.
LT 1.6.
1.6.2. You are working off fatigue. So then if you're able to reproduce low threshold or LT 1.3.2, at that fatigue level, then you are in great shape. So you're recovering well, you're still able to reproduce high octane efforts, and you're searching around your body for glycogen that's just not there, which is cool.
Mm. Do you recommend your athletes go home and have a sleep or just eat one meal or have a couple of meals? Like, how do you tell them to recover between the sessions?
Try and go to sleep in the middle of the day.
Okay.
Like just a switch off. In terms of food, just eat normally. I don't try not to overload them with too much because they're going into a high effort.
Yeah.
So I don't want any GI issues.
Yeah.
And also don't want to make it too special in terms of nutrition. So they're pumping themselves up too much. So then you get the desired effect. Mm. So you're able to like pre-fatigue on the hill. Your body's then having to search around and anything you put in has to absorb it. But nothing mad, nothing too heavy.
Dominoes and a nap.
Got my nose in an app.
Solid. What do you... You had shishuka.
I had shishuka straight after. I had a shishuka smoothie.
Cauliflower salad.
When you do a session like this, if you've got a marathon or if you've got Two Oceans coming up, what are you wanting to see, or what results are you wanting to get from, say, your 1K or from the hill? What does success look like?
So I'll use an example in the case of Josh. So he went up in a cab at around zone 2, zone 3 heart rate. Pace is sort of relevant because it's uphill, and he was happy as Larry. And then the evening, we're looking at his, so low tempo for him would be around 4:30, 4:25 for the 1Ks, which is what I was asking him to hit. So I said like go 4:30, 4:35 to start with and see how you go. And then it's how well they reproduce and hold their form over those efforts. And he actually got faster.
And you don't run those 1Ks on a track either. You run them out in the field.
Yeah, we choose a bit of road, which is it's a sweeping corner, and there's always a headwind for one of them, which means that they have to rely a lot on how they feel when they're running, and also the lean when you go into the headwind. It's and the pickup to not like start languishing in that stride length and start heel striking is really good to see because it asks so much of your body mentally and physically.
Jonesy's ultra brain is going, why not just do them back to back? Right? You've definitely thought that.
I have, yeah. Why would you not do them back to back?
You're just asking that now. Yeah, so I want them to have a whole day
I'm pointing at them.
Of fatigue. So if you have to do that in the morning and then you have to have a little bit of a nap, but also have to operate as a human throughout that whole day, you're still having to recover quite a lot and recover off the fact you're still awake, still functioning, still metabolically active. And then you go into the evening and it makes the whole long day even more mentally challenging as well.
Yeah.
So if you just in back to back, that'd be your day done. Go home, easy. And you'd probably cook in the last two or three of those kilometers. But you want the quality to be high enough and you also want their brain to be knackered. So they've got to really like recreate what it feels like when you get to say 35, 36 in a marathon and you start asking yourself all the questions in the world. And you come up with the answers.
The majority of these people as well, they'll train predominantly in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
So running in the afternoon or evening is rough to start with.
Yeah.
Let alone having all that fatigue in their legs.
It's a hard day. Yeah. Professionals do it daily. They run in the evening and the morning. Just repeat.
True.
But we don't. So this is an extra bit of stimulus, which is either gives them a lot of confidence or tips them over the edge.
Destroys them.
Yeah. You've got to be smart when you distribute it.
And they do this at the end of a standard training week. You don't taper for it. You just go,
no,
just go. Bolt it on for Saturday. What would the Sunday look like?
Sleeping. Well, it was on Sunday this week.
Ah,
so.
Sorry.
So yesterday was shake and Jake. See how the legs were feeling. So if it's like a 30-minute run, just for movement to allow blood flow to return to the legs, that's good. But if that turned to a walk, as long as it's active recovery, then they can go again. So again, par exemple, Josh did Yassos this morning and nailed his projected marathon times.
Excellent.
Nailed it. The angry Italian man who came up with this, Ronaldo, we actually were sat next to him in a pub in Kenya, and he shouted at you, basically, that you cannot change a form.
Yes.
What do you think of actual that statement?
It works in professionals. Actually, it doesn't work in professionals. I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't think it's true.
What did he shout?
You cannot change a form.
You cannot change your form.
We were watching the New York Marathon, and was it the women, the female?
Obiri running like a tank. She arms flail out.
She runs like a front door.
Yeah.
We said, oh, what do you think of her run form? And he basically just said, he said, you cannot change a form.
In that accent. And then he fell asleep.
And then he did fall asleep next to the fire. But it was an interesting statement, right? Because, I mean, a lot of run coaches often try and change form.
We do.
For good reason.
If you look at a pro, right? A pro runner. They've typically, like you've taken a typical runner, they've been running since they were a kid. Their biomechanics have sort of adjusted to make themselves optimal for them. Then they've gone to serious training. Then they've perfected that through the fact that they train hard, the muscles get worked in a certain way, and then they're professional. Mm. And then changing their form is minuscule. We're talking tiny, because the body's so synced up to what's most efficient for it at that point. Yeah. Unless you see some red flags that are causing, say, injury or economy issues. But by the time these marathon runners are highly economical.
Yeah.
They're using nothing for so much speed. So, but then if you look at, like, say, your average, like, marathoner, then they might not have been running since they were a kid. They might have just taken up running. So actually their biomechanics have not had time to settle in, to figure out what works best for them. And also they're carrying, I don't know, 20 years worth of injury and misuse or just completely unused. So they have no idea, or their body doesn't speak to them as well as, say, a pro does.
Unconscious incompetence.
Yeah. So cueing them, giving them strength work that also includes like form work to get them to listen to their body and see what it's actually saying is really important. And that's not changing the form, that's just teaching the form, which I think is a different way to look at it.
Yeah. Drawing the form out of them.
Jonesy?
No, I was just thinking that something you said there, I think they have, you said about 20 years of training. I was also thinking that they probably have about 20 kilos of extra body mass as well to lug around.
It's also a thing.
So changing the form of someone who's 100 kilos is much, much harder than someone that's potentially 70 kilos.
Yeah.
True.
Because you're dealing with different loads.
Have we seen the end of Kipchoge's dominance in the marathon now?
Oh, we were having a chat about this on Sunday, actually. I have no idea. You never know with that man. If he takes his hat off, saves a few grams, distal weight.
All the tape.
He could have just been an off day, but I wonder, it would be interesting, I haven't done it, but if you look at his hit rate and his miss rate, and is his miss rate becoming a greater percentage? So is that a sign of miscalculation in terms of his build-up, or is he building for Paris? Is that part of his process? Who knows? Who knows, old Kip? Ask all Patrick Sang-Hilna.
Yeah, Patrick would. Paris, you mean the Olympics?
Yes. What did I say?
Paris.
Yeah, there you go.
Sort of meant Paris Marathon.
No. Paris Olympics, sorry. He wants his gold, doesn't he?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's targeting that. It's his hard target for the year.
Let's see. When does ultra running come to the Olympics?
It's a very good question. On a looped course, I wonder. That'd be quite good for spectating. I don't think it'll ever come.
Well, they put surfing and skateboarding in, you never know.
So they've got some new sports this year, don't they?
would that wreck it?
Ultra running?
Yeah. Or is it, would have been tarnished by corporatization?
Don't say the name. That's it.
They have the trail running world championships with across different distances. So the short course and long course. And they have like trail running vertical kilometer world championships. So something like that, where it's shorter, super high intensity, I think would be very cool.
Not ultra then.
Not ultra.
Not ultra, no.
What about a lapped 25K course? Like five times.
Nah.
All right.
Could be quite interesting. Speaking of ultra, moving over to cycling, Strada Bianchi.
Strada.
On the weekend. You watch?
Yes.
What do you think?
Fantastic. So, for people who didn't watch, Pogacar, bit of a lad. He goes up and gets interviewed before the stage, and they say, where are you going to attack? And he says, with 75K to go on this certain hill. And he told everybody. He then got his team to ride hard in the front, and then he did it. And nobody could respond. Okay. It was 70, was it 75 or 60?
80, wasn't it?
I think.
80Ks.
80K of just solo on some of the most undulating hard terrain out there. And it was rainy, then it was sunny, then it was everything got thrown in. But he just opened up a gap and held it and then extended it. It was absolutely mind-boggling.
It was. Yeah, it was a hell of a performance. You actually went on to watch some of the tour that was here.
Yeah,
weeks ago. You were down on the sprint. You were at the sprint finish.
Sprint stage, yeah. A Millier one.
And you see, like what you see? Anything? You've been to see a couple of cycling races before, right?
Yeah. The sprint stage is here. You see what? It's maybe a second, right? If you go to like Jebel Jais or Hafit, you see a little bit more if you position yourself right. But it was very good. The attendance is, as always, low, which is absolutely sublime because it means you get to potter around in all the teams and they're just chilling out on deck chairs.
Were you looking at the different equipment and stuff? Like what I'm saying is Poggy just on a better bike?
No.
Is there any differences in team bikes these days, do you think? Or is it?
No.
Everyone's the got R&D, a fair crack.
The sports science and the basic technology behind cycling now is almost like that of F1. So I think they're on a pretty level playing field in that respect. I think that his legs over winter become like, he's angry. I think that's the thing. He's angry at Vingegaard.
Do you reckon?
I reckon he's real angry.
But he's doing Tour and Giro this year.
Yeah. It's going to be class. If he can hold it, he's going to be class. I think he's the only guy who probably could win both. Because he's just that kind of rider, isn't he?
So it's down to the rider, not down to anything to do with the bikes or even the team.
Because they're all introducing these new aero helmets, which have got little ear flaps.
Yeah, TT helmets. I thought the teams had just forgotten their road helmets, but actually they're all just wearing aero helmets now.
It's madness. So everything's gone to within, everything's tested and tried. Every single person knows exactly how hard they can ride for how long. Their fueling system is next level. They're on about 120, 130 grams of carbs an hour.
Don't tell Dr. Dan Plews that, because he will go mental.
Dr. Dan cannot speak to Pogacar then. Yeah. And then their teamwork is exceptional, so they know when they can go. It's down to fine art now. So that breakaway would have been calculated. And that would have been, he knows he can sustain it and there was no stress in his head. And then he knew the chances that the guys behind him couldn't work together because they had blockers in there, like two UE riders who were stopping the flow of that chase. So it's just well-executed racing.
Yeah. So he knew what numbers he could do for, like, for example, 80K. He knew where he could punch on the climbs and where would be the faster sections. And they also put team dynamics into play to stop any chase pack getting onto him as well. It was very interesting.
The
commentators weren't sure either. They were like, he could blow up at
any point.
At any point, yeah.
Never in doubt, eh?
But he didn't.
He was so, so confident.
Yeah. That's where high-end, top-level sport is really gone now, right? It's all just calculated.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally, I think it's the most direct comparison between F1 and, like, when you actually use your feet or your engine. It's cycling. It so scientific.
But on the other level, and I'll just pick this out because I know you've got one rider specifically who has been working the last few months of actually switching his brain to power meter connection off. And so we're like riding Jebel Jace or riding some stuff at Al-Qudra. He's actually saying, I'm not going to look at my power numbers because it's limiting me. It's like a complete different way of looking at it, right?
Yeah, but that's also when they test, they train, they test without their numbers. A lot of people test without numbers because then you reflect on the numbers opposed to the being driven by it and like constrained by it. Mm. So then it allows your mind to be stronger than the numbers. That's where you improve. Yeah. And then you relate that to a feeling, which is the best and most honest way to do it. And then you can reflect on that in the training process. What's your 7 out of 10 this day? Yeah. What's your 8 out of 10 this day? What's your threshold this day? And it works.
Yeah.
It's the same as there. Hagger in the half.
Yeah.
He put his watch in his back pocket.
He did that this morning as well.
Yeah, because he didn't want to see it because he wants to go off true effort.
Can't believe those shorts he wears has a back pocket.
It's called something else, isn't it?
Prison pocket, isn't it? Jonesy, when you're listening to this stuff in, for example, cycling or like Skinny saying, directly comparing it to F1 and things, and then you're going over and coaching your ultra guys, where do you find the balance of being able to coach people more on that level versus for example, ultra, where it's just move. Don't worry about the pace. Eat when you're hungry. Just keep moving.
There is an element of that, but there's an element of tactics involved as well. Like, same idea. If you know you can hold a certain pace for a certain period of time, then you should not go off faster than that pace, and lots of people do. And it's looking at where your strengths lie. Are your strengths climbing? Are your strengths running undulating flats? Are they descending? And then you capitalize on those strengths, and you can use people around you as well. So it's quite similar in a sense, but just not as high end. I think you can draw a lot of comparisons, like what Skinny said there about not training with power. It's like what we do in the summer here with all of our runners, right? You don't look at paces.
Yeah.
You look at effort or perceived effort for a block of something. And you use that as your marker.
Yeah, true.
It's a lot of parallels.
When you talk about tactics, about Zet Ultra,
yeah,
and you talk about people's strengths and weaknesses. So if somebody's good at going downhill, what is that a reflection of? And how would you exploit that?
What do you mean?
So what, like going down a hill is what, is skill based?
It can be, or it can be confidence based as well.
Quad size.
Some people.
Quad size.
True. How much can your quads take the thrashing? They're like a meeting that I had this morning. Somebody, they can run downhill, but their limiting factor is their sight. And so they can run downhill fast on tarmac, but as soon as it comes to trails, they get completely obliterated by everyone that they normally run with because they can't see where they're putting their feet. So we have to look at how can we change our tactics so that you can actually see where your feet are going to go and so you can utilize the speed that you have.
Thank you.
Goggles.
One kiss study. Goggles. Yeah. Varifocals.
Varifocals, yes.
Two headlamps.
Two. Well, we actually discussed headlamps. Yeah. That's why I have my head torch in my bag there.
Tactics coming up as well for a big month for us out here, which is Ramadan. How do you guys, Skinny, we'll start with you. How do you coach one of your athletes who's going through the fasting month or the holy month fasting? How do you coach that?
Pivot.
Pivot. Ross Geller holding a sofa.
AM threshold. The
threshold just before fasting starts. No, I like to focus on things apart from top end speed. It's all you can do, really. If you're talking exclusively running, actually, let's just talk about all the modes. Intensity goes down for endurance stuff. You have to be smart about when you break fast and what you break it with. And then also being very cognitive of the fact that if you go a little bit too hard, just like with all training, but especially in Ramadan, if you go hard in one session, that the multiplying or the compounding effect of that is so much greater because you're not recovering well, you're not sleeping enough. You're fasting half the day, so your body's in panic mode anyway. So you give a couple of days just to ease into it, to get their rhythm, to get their, like, let their stomach shrink, get their system set up for that.
Yeah.
Also, it's worth considering the fact that people also go out a lot in iftar. Iftar life, when every invite gets sent your way. So nights get longer, food gets worse, potentially, and more of. So overeating's a thing as well, which means even worse sleep. But yeah, I tend to go on the side of let's ease off on intensity, go to feel, still have a little bit if they want it, just to feel good, get a bit of endorphins going and a little bit of a little spike in the heart rate. And then we focus on things like what can we do strength-wise? What can we do form-wise? What can we do nutrition-wise, sleep-wise? What can we focus on that's going to benefit your overall training effect without putting you in the bin?
Yeah.
Pretty much covered all of that. I'm going to ask a question. God. Let's say you are a runner who is fasting, but you have a marathon. What have we got coming up? Like Paris, I guess, Milan. How do you continue to train during Ramadan, knowing that you're in your peak weeks before those marathons?
You probably should have done your peak weeks before Ramadan. You shouldn't be going in to try and peak for a marathon when you're going
32.
Like, really, you should have all your load and paces banked up before that so that you can just maintain during Ramadan.
Maintenance, isn't it?
Yeah. And yeah, that's pretty much
it. We talked about that during the Christmas, when people go on Christmas holidays and they're eating more, everything's, their sleep's not as good, maybe they're drinking a bit more alcohol. I know if you're fasting, it's kind of the opposite, but you go through phases of feast and famine, right?
Mm.
Maybe gaining fitness isn't what you're looking to do, it's maintaining what you have already.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest stress of a Ramadan, right? Is no gaining fitness during Ramadan. It's maintaining or cutting your losses as much as you can. Always think it's also a good time, like you say, skinny, to work on the other parts, like keeping in good habits, working on maybe giving the body back a little bit more energy to allow it to recover from some niggles, or help yourself improve in range of movement or some ability work, and kind of seeing it as a month to enjoy rather than a month of
what you can't do.
Yeah, what you can't do. So cutting session time down, 45 minutes to an hour, still training if you want 5 to 6 times per week. But what are you actually looking forward to? Spending time with your family and your friends and enjoying the month and doing what, you know, what it is actually there for, to help people with. So adding in more stress of you've got to do this with your training and make sure you drink this at this time and this at that time. It's like, does that need to happen? I had a conversation this morning and their goal, their next A race is in October. So do we actually need to be stressing about how we're going to train through Ramadan, or do we just stick to a skeleton program and say, if you feel like doing that, do that. And if not, no stress, like just enjoy it. If obviously you've got a marathon in April, then there needs to be a bit more discipline there and being able to come out of Ramadan with your energy tanks full, which means making sure your hydration status is great when you're in the hours where you can drink and eat, making sure that good food habits are maintained, and making sure that you come off the first day post Ramadan and you can get back into the swing of training rather than have to wait a week to sort yourself out in order to refine the motivation and refine the discipline to then get back into it.
What do you say to people who are doing the NAS night race then?
I don't know anyone doing a NAS night race.
Remember that?
That's a flashback.
Do you remember that? I mean, Steph running, Jonesy ending his life.
Jonesy loves a NAS night race. He's in triathlon now.
Yeah, he's
triathlon. By the way, T100 Dubai opened up yesterday.
Yes.
Did you get your slot?
They claimed it opened.
Did it not?
I never got an email.
I didn't. I know people got emails and signed up. 6 o'clock last night was the sign up.
So are people signed up now?
Yeah.
Maybe we should get on that.
Jonesy, get on it, mate. CAD 12, here we go.
I'll get the dogma out for that one.
How many more triathlons are you going to do in 2024?
Two.
Which ones?
The one this weekend.
Yeah. And
I'm just leaving one open just in case.
Okay.
No more than three.
Skinny triathlon this year?
No.
Have you ever done a triathlon?
No.
Come on.
Come on, eh?
Come on.
Pick one out.
Do you want to
do it? No.
Come on.
Straight into that one. We'll see. I've got something big coming in May, so I might be a little bit sleep deprived, but
then you two can do dadcast.
Huh? I kicked off in lockdown.
Why not? Yeah, big changes on the way for you. But it'll be all be good ones. What age are you going to start training him? Her? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
We've already started training. Fully.
Rack half.
Prenatal training. We've put a little treadmill in there. The bottom of the ute. Doping's already started. It's all going to be fantastic.
He's either going to have your genetics, which means that we need to get him straight to Kenya or her. Just straight away. Or comes out and it's going to absolutely hate running. Yep. In which case, it's going to be hilarious for you.
Or cycling. You can do that. Or sport badminton. There you go. There's one for you.
That is.
Thought about all the sports and genres. Full exposure.
Golf, if you want.
What sport would you be most disappointed with?
The baton. Isn't that a sport in America? They flow a baton up in the air and make rhythmic movements with it.
Rhythmic gymnastics?
No, not gymnastics. Gymnastics is great. The baton, they've got like a big baton. They fling it around, they run around and catch it and stuff.
Is that a sport? Is that not like...
Mate, it's box serious. People dig it.
So like crap gymnastics?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think crap it's dancing. Rhythmic gymnastics.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Brilliant. So we've... Xterra no longer speaking to us, and rhythmic gymnasts and I absolutely hate it as not well.
Sure. To America.
It's a skill though. You can't discredit that.
Good. Well, there is marathons coming up. Paris, Milan. We have, Jones has got a triathlon coming up.
Next week.
Xterra Greece in April. At the end of May.
It's a big one. Big one. Yeah. It's a big one.
Into the darkness.
31st of May. Friday night.
Dancing shoes on.
7 p.m.
It's around this time that preparation should be beginning for running 50K, right?
People start asking you, into the darkness, what should I be doing? How far should I be running? Should I ride a bike? Should I rent a bike? Shall I run 100K? Yeah. Shall I run 10K?
What do you say? Relay?
Yes. I say yes. Into the darkness, you can do whatever you want. There are no rules except that you need to be finished before sunrise.
True, true.
The traditional format is 50-50-50.
Yeah.
For those who are listening. That's the full, that's what gets you on the board.
50 ride, threshold.
Yes.
50 ride.
50K run.
Threshold.
Painful. 50K ride.
Survive.
Tempo.
Tempo. And if you finish it, you have to finish it before sunrise to get on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
That's the one.
Into the darkness, isn't it? It's not into the light.
We should try that again.
What, into the light?
Yeah. Gosh. I want to see you in a straight jacket again. Do another podcast where I'm still... But if, again, listeners who haven't heard this, when Tom was on the bike for the second bike, he said he felt like he was in a straight jacket that he couldn't get out of. Meanwhile, Marcus is having four bottles of water poured on his forehead because he was swinging like I've never seen it.
Do you remember how hot the water was?
Yeah, it was horrible. And then we had Captain in a bus, in a shelter, just with his feet up.
That was the last time he rode,
That was the last time he rode.
What was it?
I just seen walking around the gym now. Not training, just walking.
Into the Light was when you rode the last bike with Boz, right?
Yeah, you guys dropped me on the run. I'd just come back from the UK, not shortly before. And you guys dropped me on the run, which was fine, coming down the second hill at Alcudra. So with what, 12K to go maybe?
Yeah.
And then, might have even been the first hill now thinking about it. Anyway, and then Boz decided very kindly to ride me on the second lap. I think instantly regretted a decision. Once we turned the corner.
Oh my God, it was hot.
And then she tried to call in an emergency water supply because we'd run out by the first sunshade.
Yeah.
I had to lie down or fall off the bike. It was horrendous.
So good. Any best memories of Into the Darkness or Into the Light?
Into the Light best memories was turning up with my backpack and you guys not having a backpack, so it looked like three dads and a kid. That's just every photo from that. It's just like, oh, it's three fathers and a son, whatever that film's called.
Three men and a baby.
Yeah, that's it.
Three fathers and a son.
Escape. Three fathers.
Oh, that well-known Hollywood one. Three men and a baby.
I That's the correct one. Three Fathers. That's coming out next year.
That was
year.
The sequel, wasn't it? That was the sequel.
Fantastic.
When was it that Ash forgot the car keys?
That was into the darkness.
Oh my God, I'm getting crumbling.
So you got back from the bike and Ash had taken the car keys home.
Yeah.
So you ran in bib shorts.
Yeah.
Your display of patience that day was...
I think I was the calmest. Ash was going to...
You ran in bib shorts and Sean's shoes.
All fell apart once I took Sean's shoes off. That was funny. That was a...
Was it Vaporflies?
Yeah, mate.
That's right.
Full gas. It's the first time wearing carbons.
So good.
Not to be recommended.
So good.
No chafers, yeah. It's all good.
So, best memory was Into the Light.
Being Three Fathers and a Son. And then... honestly, we'll put a picture up. We'll put a picture up.
Yeah.
And it looks... I can't post any.
That was the debut of the Speed Bob, which you all hated.
The fishing hat.
And now who wears fishing hats the most? Rob Jones.
You stuck them in the gym.
Rob Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put little bits of ice in it, didn't you?
Exactly. That's what it's designed for.
But then you put your head in a cool box.
In a cool box.
To be violently sick, which only foam came out.
That was horrible.
Yeah, that was a good day.
Yeah.
A good day.
So yeah, we'll do it again. Was that 2020 we did that?
Yeah, it was straight out of lockdown. And so Into the Darkness, the favourite moment was getting to the Picanto. Beautiful car, great car, and not being able to get into it. And then Ash went, "Oh, they're next to the car, aren't they?" No, they're not next to the car. And then she was going to get a brick and smash the back window of the Picanto. And I was like, "It's all right. I'll just wear some stuff and then go."
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite athlete moment from Into the Darkness?
Oh, that's a good question.
I can't tell the story, but I'll just say the chicken sandwich event. If you were there, you know what that was.
If you weren't there, ask Jenny Wilson.
When Miles double dosed himself on Big Energy.
Amazing.
Now then, it wasn't double.
Calculates to 180 grams of carbohydrates in a bottle, which he drank before starting.
And then he drank two on the bike. That was a big day.
And then I got a phone call saying, Miles is on his back. He's just making grunting noises.
How far did he get?
There was about 10K. My response was, step away from him and leave him alone.
Like giving a pigeon Alka-Seltzer. It was just...
That was a good one. But generally, my best memories are from clients finishing who didn't think that they could.
When we sit at the Zad's finish line and they come around that corner and they have the biggest grin on their face. It's quite special.
Yeah. I think the bit, because you come off the bike, that's normally is a finish, right? That resembles the finish. But then, you come on in the run, which feels like you're done, and then you got to get back on your bike. It's a hard thing. You can't really think about it or you'll stop. You just have to get on and do it. So I think when people come in off the run, they don't quite absorb that it's pretty much in the bag.
Yeah.
They just got to get on their bike. And then as they're coming through from Mosque back and you know it's done, then they just all start, it all starts coming home that they're actually going to finish it. And then they come in off the last bike and they don't know whether to be so tired to collapse or whether to be so happy because they've actually done it.
I don't think there's been any person that's finished the run and not finished the bike. There's definitely been people that finished the first bike not being able to finish a run.
Mm.
I think if you get the run done, then it's you're home and dry.
I agree.
Unless it's Into the Light. In which case...
Not.
It's not done.
Just no. Luca was a good one.
Yeah, Luca just nailed it. That
was an impressive Fruity turn.
Duty.
I liked it when Sam Brining was running. You stopped to see if he's okay. He said, I'll pick you up. Just run another 2K. And you forgot that he said that in the 2K. Took you to drive and just drove back to the
finish. He thought I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
But actually I had just forgotten. It's like brilliant coaching by Tom. He said he was going to pick me up, but he wasn't there and it made me get to the finish. And I was like, mindset. Yeah, I forgot we had that conversation.
It's quite late in the morning, wasn't it, by that point?
Oh, absolutely cooked. There was one night, one year where it was like three weekends in a row. Clients kept saying, I'm going to have another crack.
Oh yeah, you did a lot that time.
So yeah, this year, coach's night, athlete's night.
I'm finished.
Sunset. Sunrise. Out. Good. There's no way of signing up to this, by the way. So you're either in or you're out. You either know the date and you know the time of the start, or you don't.
I've already told you what it is. So if you don't know, go back and listen again.
Exactly.
From the start of the podcast, get our listenership up.
Excellent. Good. Thank you, lads.
Thank you.
Goodbye.